Begin the current daf, Masech Tzivachim daf Tzadi Hei. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining the Ahar Mishnah from the previous daf. The Mishnah was describing halacha that we said in the previous Mishnah, which is that the three halachas regarding washing a garment that had the damchata spill in it, or a vessel that's made out of earthenware that had the meat of the chata is cooked inside of it has to be broken, and that of a copper vessel, that of metal, which requires merika shtifa, all those three halachas have to be malakam kaddish, which means to say has to be done in the azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Mishnah described what happens if it was taken out, you have to take it back in. What happens if when you took it out it became tummy? Now you're not allowed to bring something tummy into the azara. So then, as the Mishnah described, now as our Gemara is explaining, you have to purify it. The way you do that is by eliminating the classification of this thing as a garment, as a vessel, then you can bring it back in, but then you run into a problem. The thing is that regarding these things, when you have to wash them or break them, they have to be, like the Pasuk says, a beged or a kli. So how do you make it not tummy anymore by making it not a beged or kli, but then you're not going to be able to do the halacha of washing it or breaking it? So the Gemara in the previous stuff addressed that question regarding the halach of the mei chata, of the blood of the chatas regarding a beged. Now our Mishnah, our Gemara continues to explain the next halacha. The Mishnah said, kli cheresh yatza b'chulur, regarding an earthenware vessel that the meat of the chatas was cooked in it, and it was taken outside and became tummy. So what do? Said the Mishnah, you make a hole in it, and then it's tahar, because it's not anymore in its original function as a vessel, which purifies it, and then you bring it back in, and then you break it over there. On that, as the Gemara, as the Girsa adds on the word noikvay, you make a hole in it. But same as the Gemara had asked regarding the halach of the beged and the blood of the chatos, kli amrachman. The Torah says, what do you have to break? A vessel. V'loy klihu. Once you already made a hole in it, it's not a vessel, and that's why it's tar. But now you can't do the halach of breaking it anymore in the azar. And that says the Gemara, similar as it had on the previous halacha, shenikiv b'sherish katan. No, you make a hole the size of a small root, which is enough to make it not tame anymore, because it's not the same as its original functionality. However, it's still a vessel, because it could still be used for different things, and therefore, it will still be considered a kli to have the halacha of shvira, of a kli cheres, in the azar. Similarly, regarding the last halacha, the Mishnah said, kli nechayishas. Same thing regarding the copper vessel, chulu, etc., if it became tame outside. So, pechasa, you got to make even a bigger hole, for chulu, etc., and then you bring it back in. Here too, the Gemara asked, but v'halav klihu. When you're doing the merika shtifa, it's not a vessel anymore. So how are you doing the merika shtifa by bringing back in after you already made this huge hole in it? Says the Gemara, deratziv martziv. After they make the hole, thus purifying it from its tuma, then they bang it with a hammer to flatten it out, to close up the hole that was made, and now it's back into a vessel again. Now it's a vessel. Now you can go ahead and do the merika shtifa in the azara. Now, as the Mefarshim explains, seemingly Rashi doesn't have the girsa of the previous case of Kli Cheres. So Rashi says, to answer the question on the earthenware vessel, what you could say is, when the Mishnah says to make a hole in it, you make a hole the size of that a liquid would drip out of it, which that purifies it from its what it was used up until now as a vessel. But it's still considered a Kli, a vessel, because it could still be used, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, Avtali, Mebeis, for other things which are don't have a problem with small little holes, like to put olives inside, which would fit inside, so it's still a kli, but it's still tahar from the tumah. And again, that answers the question about this middle ground about purifying it, but maintaining the fidelity of being a beged or being a kli. Now, kadir on these halachas, Amar Shlakish, he says, mi'il, but the robe of the kayin gadol, of the big dikuhuna, if the damchat is sprayed on it, and it was taken out of the curtains, out of the azara, and shenitma became tummy, what do? So, machnisai, you bring it into the azara, meaning the place of where the blood had splattered on the me'il, you bring that into the azara, b'pachis mishalish al shalish, but parts of the robe, less than 3 finger breadth by 3 finger breadth at a time, and mechapsik, that's how you wash it in the azara. Meaning, you don't bring in the entire tamei me'il into the azara, because you're not allowed to bring in a tamei item into the courtyard. Now, but why are you doing like this? Why don't you just tear it the way we said regarding the halacha, the Mishnah, when the garment becomes tummy, you tear it and then you bring it in and then you wash it? Because it says regarding the me'il in Shemais, lo yikarei, you're not allowed to tear the kahana garments. So therefore, we don't have that as an option. So what you do is, you bring in parts of the garment that are less than 3 by 3 at a time, which are not halachically viewed as a garment, and therefore you're not bringing in something of tumah because it's not something of significance, but it's still inside, so you can wash it, and therefore that's how you fulfill the obligation. Now, on this halacha, Maisir Rav Adi Bar Abba, asked from Mishnah Masechta Kelim. Mishnah says, Ha'avin, regarding thick garments, Varachim, and those that are very soft, like felt, which are not woven, Ein behem mishum shalosh al shalosh. They don't have this halachic classification of being considered a garment by three finger breadth, by three finger breadth. Why? Because these types of fabrics are not used for wearing them as clothing. Because you can't really make a garment out of them, because they're either too thick or too soft. Rather, they're used for sitting on them. For sitting purposes, it's not enough to be 3x3 finger breadths. You need to have 3x3 tefachim, which is much larger. Now, the me'il, the robe that the Kohen Gadol wore, was thick. As the Gemara says in Yumadef, Ayin Alva Mebeis, each thread was actually 12 threads tied together. So the question is, if the halacha of shalosh shalosh doesn't apply to it, then you could allow it to be brought in, not like you just said before, Rish Lakish, only 3x3 finger breadth at a time. You should allow up until 3x3 tefachim, because this is not the same as regular garments that are considered a beged, thus not being able to be brought in the state of tumah to the azara by shalosh shalosh adzbayis. It could be up to shalosh shalosh tefachim. That says the Gemara. That's if it's by itself. Yeah, these types of fabrics are not going to be considered significant until they're 3x3 tefachim. But here, agav avien, since it's with its literally father, means say, since these parts of the me'il are attached to the whole garment, so chashivi, so even just 3x3 tefachim of it is considered significant. You're right, just a piece of fabric by itself, a very thick cloth, it's not going to be considered significant to sit on unless it's 3x3 tefachim. But if it's part of a whole robe, which that of course is considered significant as a garment, 3x3 etzbois of that is already going to have a chashivas, and therefore you can't bring in that amount. You have to bring in less than that to wash at a time. But now the Gemara has a general question on the halacha of our Mishnah. So we said the halacha is, these items have to be washed in the azar. But the blood of the karmel chatos requires shibas samamanim, as the Gemara says, Masechta Nidah, Samach Avam Abayis, regarding kesamim, regarding certain blood stains. If you want to wash off blood, to test, and that's what removes blood, it requires 7 different ingredients. They are this tasteless saliva that a person wakes up with in the morning. There's also the paste of ground up beans. There's urine. There's neser, which is a type of a detergent, and bayris, also komunya and ashlag. The Amram Nachum Amram Barvua, he says that dam chatas, the blood of a karmel chatas, which we're discussing here in our sugya, umaris negayim, which is that similarly when a garment has a neg on it, the pasuk tells us that the garment has to be washed, like it says v'chibzu esa shebay neg, you have to wash the garment that has the nega. To fully launder it, to get rid of the blood, to get rid of the neg, it requires these 7 detergents, these 7 ingredients. Now, if that's how you wash the garment, and you're saying it has to be washed in the azara, but now you have a problem, because we're trying to learn the brisa, which is the famous brisa of Pit Makteris that are said by davening, Me'in Kalikenu, it's a Gemara increase of Vav Med Aleph, says, Ele she'ein machnisim miraglayim b'mikdash, we're not allowed to bring urine, although for certain purposes maybe it would be very helpful, very effective, but one's not allowed to bring in the water of the legs, meaning urine, into the base of Mekdash. So how do we bring in miraglayim to the Azara? So that's a difficult on the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, you have to wash this blood of the karmel chatos in the Azara, but the only way you can wash it, like we said, is with the Shivas HaMonim. One of them is Meraglami. Now I bring Meraglami to the Azara. So I think Gemara continues on the base and says, V'chitem, and if you're going to say, okay, you're right, now I'll bring in urine straight up. It's not appropriate. But the Mivla Luhu Bahadi Shivas HaMonim, but you could mix it with the other 7 ingredients. It's not so obvious, it's not so overt of a flagrance that you're bringing this into the base of Mikdash. Uma'avala Hulu Kula Kahad, and then they'll apply all these 7 detergents together at one time, and that you're allowed to do. And that says the Gemara, you can't say that, because but now we learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Nida that says if Hevirin Shalekis Sidran, if these detergents were applied not in the order as it said over in that Mishnah, one after another in that order that it was said, Shehivr Shivas and Kechad, or if they were all applied together simultaneously, Laos of Lakom has not done anything. The only way it works is in the order one after the other. So you can't say that it was brought in together with the other detergent. They have to be separate. And v'chitem, and if you're going to say, if you're going to say, okay, no, you're right, you can't mix all 7 of them. But the meraglayim is, let's say, mixed with one of the other 7 detergents. But you can't say that either, because what tzarach l'chaskes, halacha is that the stain of the blood has to be scrubbed. The Mishnah there teaches that you have to scrub that bloodstain with each one of the detergents separately three times. So you see that whichever one it is has to be applied independently. So you're going to bring in the miraglime. How are you allowed to do that? Says the Gemara, El demivla lehu bereg tafel. No, rather, the way you bring in the urine is together with the tasteless saliva. Because the Amar Shlokish, he actually said, Reg Tafel, which is one of the seven, the tasteless saliva, Tzarech Sheyehem Kol Echad Ve'Echad. That actually has to be together with all the seven. Each one has to have, when you're applying it independently, has to have Reg Tafel inside of it. So therefore, the urine's not going to be brought in just by itself. It's going to be also with this tasteless saliva, so it's not so disgraceful. And that's how you bring it in, and that's how you end up washing the blood of the Chattas that spills in the garment in the Azara. Continues the next Mishnah on this theme regarding the related halacha that we brought in the previous Mishnah regarding that the washing of the garment, and then similarly regarding chattas, when you cook the chattas meat in the vessel, that when it's made out of earthenware, you break it, and when you make it in a metal pot, then you have the merika shtifa. Says the Mishnah, echad shebishel bay. This applies whether that pot you had cooked the meat of the chattas inside of it, the echad she'iru l'techer reseicha, whether you had just poured it hot into that vessel. Echad kachem kachem, and this applies to whether it's a higher level kabbanis. Vechad kachem kalam, whether it's a lower level kabbanis. Tun merika shtifa, every carbon requires to be purged and to be rinsed after it had a carbon cooked inside of it. Rabbi Shimon Levi disagrees. He says, no, kachem kalam in tun merika shtifa, the lower level carbon does not require this halacha of rinsing and purging, which is purging is that put hot water to get the blias out, the absorbed taste inside of that. I think Moses explained the reason why he disagrees. Now, if one's going to wonder, wait a second, but you have absorbed taste in the kachem kalam when you cook in the pot, those absorbed tastes become nicer after the time expires, how long you're allowed to eat that carbon, and then it spits it out when you cook again a permitted carbon at a later point in time, and now you're going to have nicer mixed, those nicer bleas, those absorbed tastes are going to be not kosher, they're problematic, they're going to be mixed into the carbon that you're cooking that other time. So that's what Rashi, no, Rabbi Shimon agrees, you have to do Hagala with hot water. You have to go ahead and purge it that way. This that it says that Reb Shimon holds that by Kachem Kalam you don't have to do Merika Shtifa is like how the Gemara explains that everyone agrees regarding Truma. That the Gemara had said that the Pasuk says you have to do Merika Shtifa with water, which excludes wine. And water excludes diluted wine. But like the Gemara says, but Truma, yeah, you have to purge it, but you could do it even with wine or with diluted wine. So too, Shimon says, of course you have to get rid of those blias, and you have to do Hagala, but it doesn't have to be with water. It can be with wine, diluted wine. The halacha, merika shtifa, which has its unique halachas, like it has to be done with water, that says, Reb Shimon, that only is exerts a custom regarding kachem kachem, and does not apply to kachem kalam. Now the Gemara explains halacha about Mishnah, Tarabon, one of the The Pasuk says, this halacha, ashet tevushal boy. If the pot that was cooked in by the carbon, so you have to do these halachas, earthenware break, metal, you have to do merika shtifa. Says the Braisa, "Only el shabishal boy. I would only know if you cooked in it. Asher tevushal boy. Ira l'techer reseich menan. How do you know that even if you poured it hot inside of it, even though you didn't literally cook inside of it, that you would still have to do the halachas? Tamalim, that's the Pasuk teaches. V'asher tevushal boy yishaver. And that which you had cooked in it, you break. Now, for the fact that the word yishaver, break, is near the word boy in it, and it doesn't say what it could have said, that if it was cooked in the earthenware vessel, you break it without saying the word bay, it could have said it. So why does it say the word bay next to the word yeshava? To make the exposition that if it had got absorbed in it, whatever, however, like by pouring it hot into another vessel, then yeshava, then you're going to break it. Now, bay Rambacham, I asked a question on this halacha. Taloi, let's say, they suspended a spit that was cooking, that was roasting a karma chatas, Be'aver taner, in the airspace of an oven, which it was cooking in. But none of the chatas got absorbed into the oven, because as Shita Mekubetza says that even what drips from the meat fell into the coals in the oven. But none of it got actually absorbed into the oven itself. Ma, what's the halacha? With that oven that had the meat of the chatas cooked inside of it, would you have to break that oven or not? What's the question? Says the Gemara. Abishal ubi luahu dekabadachman? Is the Torah in particular in requiring when you have to do this purification process on the vessel? Is it because you not only are you cooking, but when you cook, the tastes get absorbed in the pot, in the oven, and you have to get rid of that? And that's when you have to do it, which does not apply over here because nothing is getting absorbed. Maybe the halacha was exerzer kasev. No, if you cook in this pot a carbon, you have to do this halacha of breaking if it's earthenware and merika shtiva if it's metal, even though nothing is getting absorbed into the walls of the vessel. Some rabbi says tashem atzmi gerai from our mishnah. Our mishnah said echad shebishel by whether you cooked in it. The echad sheiru l'teicher seichu, even if you didn't cook in it, you just poured it hot into another vessel. You have these halachas that apply to it. So you see that only one of these two variables are required, because here you have when you pour it hot into another vessel, it's absorbing the taste, but you're not cooking in there. So you see, you don't need bishel and bilua. So therefore, the same thing would be the other way too. You could have bilua, just like we're saying, you have bilua without bishel. So do you have bishel without bilua? And you see that you would have the halachas. Says the Gemara, no. Bilua b'lei bishel loikami b'ilam. Regarding the case that you're being arrived from our Mishnah, when it gets absorbed in the walls of the vessel without cooking, that we never had a question, because since obviously it's getting absorbed, like we're saying, so the absorbed taste become nicer, and the Torah had already testified regarding earthenware vessels, and that's why you can't do Hagala, and you have to break it, it stays in there. So you're going to have to break it. So of course you're going to have the Halacha breaking over there. And therefore, corollarily, regarding the metal, you'll have to Merika Shtifa. But our question was, let's say it was cooked without the taste getting absorbed, why would the halacha be over there? Why would we have to do the halacha, break and merika shtifa, and nothing got absorbed inside of it? Maybe you don't have to. Says the Gemara Tashma, let's bring a raya, Damar of Nachman Rabbah Bar Avuah. Now Meira said, Taner shel mikdash shel matechas. He said that the oven that was in the base of Mikdash was made out of metal. Now, the assumption of the Gemara is, why they make it out of metal, and why are we telling you that? Is because since they would roast the meat of the Karma Chatos on spits in the oven, we don't want that you're going to have to constantly break the oven every time you cook. Because if it was made out of earthenware, the halacha is that when you cook the carbon, you have to break it. If you made the oven out of earthenware, you have to break it. Now, that says the Gemara, if you're saying that cooking without absorbing, we're not particular about, so then nevet shalcheres. So what they do with the ovens? They would roast the meat. Who cares? The meat's not getting absorbed in the walls. Why don't you make it out of earthenware? Why do you have to make it out of metal? Obviously, it is because the halacha would require breaking, even though there's no bilua, and that's why they'd make it out of metal. And that says the Gemara, no, it's not a riot. Because kiven de ikas shiur menaches, it's not the only thing that they would cook in the ovens. Since there's the leftovers of the flour offering, which a fistful was taken and burnt the mizbeach, the rest of it was consumed by the kahanim, dafiyas and betanya, they would bake it in the oven. Now, there is ve'ikah bishul lebilua. There, not only are you cooking in the oven, but you're also getting absorbed because the menaches, the flour offerings, had oil in it, which that was like the equivalent of something fatty which gets absorbed into the walls of the oven. So that's what Avdina Shamatechas, that's why they make it out of metal. Not because of the meat of the chatas, which is only bishul no belua. Here is bishul no belua. Of course there, everyone would agree that you would have to then break the oven every time it was made out of cheres. And that's what made out of metal, but it's not a raya regarding our question, if you have only bishul and not belua, if the halacha would be that you have to apply these halachas or not. Now, a related halacha, the Gemara says, Hahutanur, there was a certain oven, the atrubatichaya, that they had put along the bottom of the oven a layer of fat. I mean, there was a certain type of frying that they would do out of bread, that they would smear the oven with the fatty tail of an animal, and they would bake the bread after that it was smeared with fat, would give a juicy taste to that bread. So Asra Rabbi Bar Eloi Lamechla Larifta Loilam. Rabbi Bar Eloi made it forbidden to eat that bread forever. More than even making the bread forbidden, he said that the oven, even if it's later heated up and then other bread is baked over there, is also going to be forbidden forever. Because he held that the fatty taste that gets absorbed in the walls of the oven are never going to come out. And therefore, he said the bread and the oven is totally forbidden. And the bread is forbidden. What's the problem? It's just, it's a fleishige, it's a meat type of bread. Says Vafil b'milch, even to eat it just with salt. Why? Because dilma us lemechle b'kutcha. Since kutcha was a common dip, which is a dairy dip, and you have a piece of bread. Now, at all face appearances, it looks like a regular piece of bread, and bread is many times eaten with either dairy or meat. You have this meat bread, you might come to eat it with dairy, and never said, no, you can't eat it at all, so that we don't end up having this stumbling block. But additionally, there was also the halacha that it said the oven's forbidden forever because of the taste that got absorbed in the wall of the oven. Now, maisvi on that element of his halacha, the Gemara is from the following Braisa. Ein loshen es se'isa b'chalav. The Braisa says, one is not allowed to knead a dough with milk. It can't be a dairy dough. Vimlash, and if one does need it, kalapas kolasur, that whole bread is forbidden. And the reason for that is, it might accustom someone to a habit of sinning because we don't want the person eating the bread with meat. Right? Some people eating a sandwich, a meat, whatever, he's having bread with it. This is dairy bread, might come to eat with meat, therefore you can't consume that bread. Similarly, in one's not allowed to smear the oven with the fatty tail of an animal. V'im tashabi does. Kalapas kulasur, the bread that you bake over there is totally forbidden. Until you heat up the oven and it gets rid of all the taste absorbed in the oven, then you heat it up, you got rid of that, then you could now use it to bake bread inside of it. But one thing we see is Tiyufta Rabba Bar Eloi, Tiyufta refutes Rabba Eloi, where you see that the oven's not forbidden forever. You could heat it up, that will get rid of the blaze inside of it, even when you smear with a fatty tail, and then it will be permitted. Now, on that, says the Gemara, Omli Ravina Rabashi, says, V'chima achar di taste of Rabbi Bar Eloi, now that we have refuted his halacha, which is that one could rectify an oven that was smeared with meat, you could clear not, you could kasher it. Samayam, a Rab, why did Rab say, K'deiris b'pesach yishabeiru, when you have pots coming into Pesach, you got to break them all. Why do you have to break them? You could just rectify it by heating it up. Like we see, that will get rid of the blaze inside. So Amalei, so he said to him, no, Rav Muki Lahahi, Rav explained that halacha that we said that it says in the Braisa that you can heat it up and then it's going to purge it and it's going to purify it. Bishal Matechas. That was talking about an oven made out of metal. Metal, you could kasher. Earthenware, it's never going to come out all the way. And here Rav was talking about the pots were made out of earthenware. There's no way to kasher it. You got to break it. Or if you want, you could say, no, betana shel cheres, that even the halacha of the Braisa was also talking about an oven made out of earthenware. The difference is not in the fact of what it's the substance is made out of, but actually the type of vessel that it is. Zeh, here in the Braisa, was talking about an oven that said you could purify it by heating it up, is because hasekem mibifnim, an oven, it gets heated up from the inside. That could kasher, it could get rid of the absorbed taste that are in the inside. But Vizeh here, by the pots that Rav was talking about, that he says has nothing to do, but you got to break it, is because when you heat up a pot, it's not inside the pot that the heat is. The heat is coming from the outside. That's not going to be enough heat from the outside to take out the taste that are absorbed on the inside of the pot. And that's where Rav said you have to break. And the oven, which is the case of the Braisa, is permitted by heating it up. But that has to get more. But Venevet has sakam for them. But if you want to kasher the pot, yeah, although we don't usually heat up from the inside, but do that. Heat up the fire inside the pot, and then you'll have the same equivalency of kashering like you have for the libun of the, when it gets hot inside the oven, you'll have the same thing in the pot. So why don't you do that? That will kasher. You don't have to break it. Says the Gemara, no, because chayis alai, because the owner will be delicate, he'll be concerned, because the mitfri, of afraid of the pot might break. In other words, if we're going to let him heat up the pot from the inside as a way of kashering, he's going to find a rationalization. He'll rely on, he'll just heat up on the outside. He knows that you're allowed to kasher it, but he's going to afraid to do it in the inside because it's going to burst the pot. The pot's not made like an oven to be able to withstand the fire. And because of that, we don't let him do it on the inside because he might do it on the outside because he's going to be afraid that it might break it. So says the Gemara, Hilkach, therefore, high kuvia, these hollow tiles, which is made like almost a type of like a pot type of thing, which many times it would smear it with oil and it would bake bread on this, which is called tichaya, hasika mibachutsu. It's a type of cooking where the heat of this element is from the outside, almost like a pot, and therefore va'aser, the same idea. Just like we said, you can't kasher the pots in contrast to the oven because the heating is from the outside, so to hear the kuvya, since the heating is from the outside, that's not going to be enough to get rid of the blaze on the inside, and therefore that would be a forbidden thing. If one has to kasher it for whatever purpose, that would be problematic because, again, since it's heated from the outside, that's not going to get rid of the blias that are problematic that are in the inside.